Production. Recorded live.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Beyond 50 radio program. I'm Daniel Davis. Many times on the program, we've discovered how we can try to move toward the kind of things that we want to really have, which is prosperity, abundance, happiness, and joy. Sometimes, though, when we set out to have those particular goals, we just don't seem to be manifesting those kind of results that we believe that we really want to have. Most importantly, what you want to start doing if you don't find yourself getting what you want is you got to begin to start looking deep inside and begin to challenge the kind of beliefs that may be holding you back. On the Beyond 50 radio program today is an expert and, as I understand, an undisputed expert in this particular area, where you begin to see that prosperity is not only something that you should be having, but it's also required as well. He wrote a series of books such as Accept Your Abundance and Prosperity Mind, and he's joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program to talk with us today about how this should be your birthright. I'd like to welcome to the Beyond 50 radio program today our very special guest, Mr. Randy Gage. Randy, thank you for joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program.
Hey, Daniel. Great to be on with you.
Now, you of all people certainly have had a history, if you will, that really challenges common beliefs about, well, you know, you had pretty much every reason to be, let's just say, broke and poor, but you challenged those things. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in my case, it was more desperation because I hated being broke. I hated being poor. And after doing that for the first 30-some years of my life, I just decided, you know what? I don't want to live this way any longer.
Now, what I have enjoyed, especially when you look at Accept Your Abundance and Prosperity Mind, is the fact that you say, you know, this really is a birthright that we really have within us. Everything that is necessary to be sure that we have prosperity, that we have happiness. Tell us about that.
Yes, it really is our natural state. We are meant to be healthy, happy, and prosperous. And when we're not any one of those things, it isn't because we're not supposed to be. It's because we turned away from the source. Maybe we, like in my case, I made a lot of bad choices along the way. I was raised in a, you know, pretty unhappy childhood. I was a teenage alcoholic. I was a teenage drug addict. So I did a lot of things that took me away from my innate prosperity. And I think anybody listening, it's the same thing. If you're not manifesting the things that you want to look at, okay, what might you be doing that is keeping you from manifesting them?
Now, let's talk about that a little bit more, because people will always kind of take a look, well, how did you get there? What did you do? What was different? And even though you may even give those particular answers, they probably will say, well, that's great, and then they go back to their old habits or the ways that they do things.
Yeah, we have to understand that we're all infected with mind viruses, limiting beliefs. And mind viruses are like the same as a computer virus you'd get on your hard drive, only we get it on our subconscious mind. And they may be things like money is bad, rich people are evil, it's spiritual to be poor. And because of that, if you have those kind of limiting beliefs, you self-sabotage the results you create for yourself.
A lot of people don't seem to understand that. You know, consciously they'll write down that this is the way or the move or what they would like to have in their lives, but at the same time they seem to, as you say, underlyingly self-sabotage.
Yeah, if you talk to most people and said, would you like to be wealthy, they, what, 99.999% of them would say, yes, I'd love to. But if they have this belief in their subconscious mind, which they got when they were young, programmed from their parents or from organized religion or from some other source, that rich people are evil. Like in my case, if you ask me, I would have always said I wanted to be wealthy, but I always found a way to self-sabotage myself, because I didn't realize on a subconscious level I had this programming that said, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be one of those evil, mean, nasty rich people, and then your friends friends aren't going to like you anymore, and you're not going to be a good person. So if you have those kind of beliefs, or that you're going to rot and burn in hell with gnashing of teeth, and you got to sell your soul to the devil to be successful, no matter how hard you try on the conscious level, on the subconscious level, you're always going to sabotage yourself until you change those limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think it took for you to be able to do that? Because people, they probably hear this, and yet, you know, for some it could be several years. I've heard about changing limiting beliefs. I think I'm doing this. I'm doing affirmations. I think I'm moving, doing the exercises, talking to the right people that are moving me in the right direction. But I just don't seem to see it happening. What's going on there?
Well, don't use me as an example, because I was a really slow learner.
Well, for some people it takes a little longer than others, I think.
Yeah. In my case, it all kind of came to fruition when the IRS seized my business and auctioned it off because I hadn't paid the payroll taxes. And so there I am. I've got no house, no car, no job, $55,000 in debt. I'm borrowing money to eat. I'm sleeping on the floor. That was such a shocking wake-up call from the universe that it caused me to look inside. Because before that, I would have said, you know, all my failures were the economy, the government, my crooked partner, those mean guys at the IRS. Well, after all of these, I finally asked myself the question, you know, in all of these situations, is there one person who's always at the scene of the crime?
Right.
And, of course, I didn't like that answer, Daniel, but that was the answer I needed to ask myself. So hopefully you guys listening, you're going to say, hey, I don't need to go that far down. I don't need to lose everything. I can do some critical thinking now. I can look at my own life now. I can look at my own actions. What am I doing on a daily basis? I can investigate my core foundational beliefs and make a turn in the road now.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting as you talk about these kinds of things that actually influence us, that we buy into. For instance, you know, as George W. Bush was just about to leave office, all of a sudden he says, you know, my fellow citizens, oh gosh, you neat buddies, what we need is $700 billion of your money to bail all these people out here on Wall Street, you know. And you take a look at the anger and the division, but, you know, this is something that's been going on, not just during his administration, but for years. You know, it's all the same thing, that although the government at one side, you know, tends to, like, pat our back and say, hey, you know, we're on your side, we're here to protect you. Well, on the other hand, they're kind of saying, well, we enjoy screwing you at the same time. But the thing is that people buy into that, that that really isn't as status quo as people might be led to believe. Because I tell people, you know, even in light of what was happening then, there are a lot of people, honestly, making a killing, if you will, becoming wealthy. What's going on there with that mindset?
I'm glad you brought that up, because government is one of the guiltiest parties to create these mind viruses and limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to understand, it has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats, because I can go to Australia, I can go to the UK, I can go to pretty much everywhere in the world, and it ultimately, if it's some form of a republic or democracy, it ultimately ends up going down to two major parties. The major party in power wants to stay in power, and they do that by entitlement programs. The party that's not in power wants to get in power, and they do that by entitlement programs. And so it's who's going to put more chickens in the pot. So is it free health care? Is it free prescription? Is it free education? Is it Wall Street bailouts, as you mentioned? Is it bailing out the airlines, whoever the companies that are paying the most, lobbyists to donate the most money? Governments need you to be needy. Because, the greatest threat to any politician is somebody who's healthy, happy, and prosperous.
Right.
You don't need them, and they don't, they can't ply for your vote by promise. Nobody's going to get my vote because they're going to promise me free prescriptions. I can buy my own prescriptions, right? So they'd have to appeal to something greater than giving me something. And that's the danger for governments, and that's why they create so much lack and limitation.
Mm-hmm. You know, Randy, as I was reading through your book, Accept Your Abundance, one of the things that was glaringly true is how we're raised and some of the core beliefs that we have when it comes to morality and values. We tend to get, at least for a good fair amount of us, through religious institutions. And it's interesting because one of the words that came up that you use in your book that I began to challenge in my 20s was the word selfishness. Now, you know, people go, well, you know, you're being selfish. That's an egotistical thing that you got going on there, and that's just not right. But I started realizing as I was going through, I guess, my own spiritual transformation, something that, you know, my awakening, my natural awakening, if you will, is, you know, selfishness is not the bad thing that sometimes we're led to believe it is. And you talk about that fairly extensively. Describe selfishness and why it's really very important when it comes to prosperity.
Yeah, two great points you raised. One is organized religion. We should explore that as well. But the idea of selfishness, Ayn Rand, who of course most people know for Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged, also wrote another book, not so well known, called The Virtue of Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And of course when the media said, well, why would you choose that kind of title? And her answer was, for the very reason it scares you. None of us want to be called selfish. That's like the ultimate insult. Yet, there is such a thing as enlightened selfishness. You do have to get your own needs met first. You can't help, whether you, we can use the corny analogy of the airplane, the oxygen mask, put it on yourself first before you help others, or a gazillion other ones. There's some real truth to that. You help people coming from a position of strength. When I was broke, I wasn't supporting any charities. I wasn't helping any people. I was just desperately trying to pay my light bill so the power didn't get cut off. Once you start to become prosperous, once you get your own needs met, whether we talk about health, relationships, spirituality, money, any of those things, getting your own needs met first allows you to then help other people.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, a lot of people say, you know, it gets to a point where, well, maybe I don't want to become wealthy because that's for the selfish, you know. And I'm going to show and give you plenty of examples of why I believe that's true. And the fact that you reach outside of yourself to prove that you're right about the situation that you're in, you know, can be reinforced over and over and over again. So you have to take a look at the point that, well, what are you really doing in this world that really has an impact on anyone else? Okay, well, the people say, well, you know, people like to flaunt their money. There are all these different ideas that people have about what prosperity is. And there was a gentleman that I had actually had on the radio program. This was about 12 years ago. He wrote a series of small books and became almost a best-selling author to the level of books sold as Stephen King. And they were just simple little books like the Blue Day book and one about loving mom. And they were these little small books this Australian wrote that were just really neat books that weren't really written in as much as they were photographs, a little caption, sort of a little inspiration to think about that went along with a photograph. And I'll never forget that he says, and this was before the show, I was walking him into the studio, and he says, well, you know, getting by is fine, but rich is better. And he had a certain way of carrying himself because he knew that he could get up each and every day. He could make decisions for himself. He could decide whether he was going to go to work or he could decide whether he was just going to kind of hang out and do whatever you want to do when it comes to hanging out. But the point is that he had choice. And you can see where being prosperous lends you those kinds of choices that eventually you're going to start saying, well, you know, I've started to have a little bit of extra time, or I've got more momentum to be able to make those differences in people's lives. That's pretty encouraging when you think about prosperity.
Yeah, the funny, for men, it seems to be more about freedom. For women, it seems to be more about security. But in either case, it's going back to those choices. and knowing that you have a choice and your destiny isn't being foisted upon you, but you are a co-creator in manifesting the kind of life you want to have. And money is a tremendous lubricant to do that. Mm-hmm. And if people say, money doesn't buy happiness. Well, that's true. Money doesn't buy happiness. And you know what's also true? Poverty doesn't buy happiness either.
Now, what is it that you would say to the listeners? Obviously, you talk about really taking a look at your beliefs and how to change them. It's not an easy process because, as you describe, especially in your book, Accept Your Abundance, you know, it's time to get real. It's those answers that you feel the most uncomfortable with that you really have to explore and work on the most.
Yeah, a great way to check your premise would be, what might your underlying view of wealthy people be? When you watch a show, and that's where I think a lot of these mind viruses are created, the data sphere with TV, radio, internet, movies, books, you know, all of our pop culture entertainment options. We can go back, no matter what generation you are, we can go back to the Beverly Hillbillies, to MASH, to Dallas, to Dynasty, to Melrose Place, to House, to where, no matter what age you are, and look at how are wealthy people portrayed. So go to a movie, you know, watch a TV show, and then say, was there anybody really rich in that movie? How were they portrayed? And then what were my feelings about that? So when you go to a movie like Avatar, you watch a movie like Titanic, which are the two biggest grossing movies of all time, you realize they're riddled with these limiting beliefs about wealthy people. And probably the more you liked those movies, the more those beliefs resonated with you. So you check that. You know, if you're driving along and you see a Rolls Royce with a flat tire, how would you feel? I mean, just think about it. What would your gut thing be? You'd go, look at Mr. Fancy Pants. Got a flat tire there. You probably wouldn't feel that way if you saw a 63 Corvair with a flat tire, but how would you feel if you saw the Rolls Royce or the Bentley? And then, you know, think about that, and that got some very illuminating insights into how you may have, in the beliefs you may have in your subconscious mind about money or wealthy people.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your turning point? I mean, you know, here you were going in one particular direction that just wasn't working well. You certainly didn't seem very happy or feel very happy about who you are and what you were giving into the world. What was the turning point for you?
It was when I was 30 and lost the business when the IRS seized it, and my health was broken down, my relationships were shot. I just didn't like myself. Mm-hmm. And I started this self-introspection, and then got on the path of studying prosperity of Charles Fillmore and Ernest Holmes and Napoleon Hill and those kind of works. And that was 22 years ago, and I've been studying the universal principles of prosperity ever since. And it didn't manifest overnight, but that was really the turning point when I was really down at the bottom there. That's when I started looking at me and working on me every day, and that's what changed everything for me.
Now, you've worked with, and talked with many people around the world. You know, they get inspired, they hear the message, and then it seems they kind of go back to their own habits. Some of it sticks, and they stick with it, and they move forward, but you know, you kind of have to take a look and say, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, and I have a great amount of success with people because I'm not afraid to get in their face. I'm not afraid to tell them what they don't want to hear. Certainly, you know, I was on another radio show and they billed me as a combination between Deepak Chopra and Dennis Miller. That was kind of funny because I do talk about these timeless universal truths, but I do it in a pretty I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what I really perceive you need to hear. And because of that, I'm direct. People know I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth with love, but they're going to hear the truth and get them to become a critical thinker. So after they go to a seminar of mine or read a book of mine, they're usually, you're not going to see movies the same way anymore. You're not going to see TV shows the same way anymore. You're going to evaluate books. You're going to do some real critical thinking about the people you're surrounding yourself with. And that's the real, that's where freedom begins. That's where the seminal moment is, or the defining point, when you start to become conscious and think about what you think about, as opposed to just experiencing thoughts or reacting things to things. You become the thinker of the thought. And that's where the real breakthroughs live. And that's where a lot, so many of the people I've been able to help, that was the where it made the difference for them, is once you make that decision, you become the thinker of the thought, everything changes for you.
And, you know, that's one of the most difficult things I think that people have to face, is that you grow up, and it's interesting because we've actually had a series of programs on our radio show for the last 3 years about thinking. And I just remember as we began to start that, you know, I've probably read just about every self-help book, it seems like, that I could get my hands on. And I thought to myself, but my life really hasn't changed. It's exciting, you know, I feel energetic, but then, you know, the next day comes along and you feel like, well, okay, here it is again. It's the same day doing the same thing. And eventually, as I was saying, you know, a couple of years, a good 3 years ago, we started getting into a series of programs on thinking. And although these books seemed to have that tenet in there, what they mostly had was secrets, strategies, this and that, of getting somewhere. And these aren't secrets or strategies. These have been around forever, as you say, timeless principles. They've been around for quite a long time. And that is that I started realizing it can't be that simple. What I'm thinking right now is the energy that manifests what becomes real for me. Boy, does it take some work, but it sure is fascinating at the same time.
It is fascinating, and it's so rewarding because it's all about mindset. One of the things you'll discover is that wealthy people think differently than broke people. Healthy people think differently than sick people. And happy people think differently than depressed people. That is just a scientific reality. There really is a difference in the thought process. So when you start to study, if you do what Napoleon Hill did, which was his research of, you know, Carnegie and Woolworth and Ford and Firestone and Roosevelt, and I mean the most successful people of his era, and compile that research into his book Think and Grow Rich, that's really a study or an overview of the mindset of how wealthy, successful people think. And you could do that today. You can look at Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and you know, Richard Branson, and pick the most successful people you see out there and say, okay, how do they think? You read their books, you read their interviews, and you get a lot of insight into how they think. And then you say, well, how did I think about that? Wow, I've never thought about it that way before. And as you've discovered with these 3 years worth of shows on thinking, this is where the rubber really meets the road. This is where the exciting stuff happens, when you start to, and go back to As a Man Thinketh, you know, the classic work by James Allen. It's a, you know, he uses the analogy of, you could have this garden and you just let whatever seeds blow into there and you've got overgrowth and weeds and whatever. Or you can cultivate the garden by planting the seeds and choosing the crops to grow and pulling out the weeds that may spring up, and use that analogy for how you manage your thoughts. And that's just an amazing experience.
You know, just the simple sheer ideal, too, especially this day and age. I think a lot of people are in a situation of what I would call mechanical thinking, or Sir Isaac Newton thinking, if you will. And especially with a program like ours, Beyond 50, okay, so what you're talking about is senior citizens, you know, you're looking at retirement, you're looking at this, and it's like, no, that's not what our program is really about. It's about people who are approaching midlife, very active, and they're saying to themselves, you know, something inside of me has desired to change, that I've gotten this far, but I'm not so sure that I really like the direction my life is going. I wanted a lot more. I look back and I have areas that I regret that I wished I could change, and I'd like to do that. I have a desire to do that, and now for the first time I have this feeling that I'm actually in control to be able to achieve this. Where do I start, they say. And so, well, this is what the Beyond 50 radio program, part of what we do is about bringing in experts such as yourself to be able to take those steps forward. The question is, do you have the courage for it?
Great question. And when someone asks, when you ask yourself that question, do I have the courage for this? Here's the thing you want to remember is the cost of living your dream is going to be high. There'll be a price to pay. There'll be some sacrifices to make. But it's nowhere near the cost of not living your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, really is worth it.
I remember an interesting scene in the last of the series of the Rocky movies. Rocky, of all things. They managed to get it to 6. And he was talking to his son, and he just, you know, actually wasn't talking. He was actually kind of screaming at him, like, look, you know, don't come and blame me because you're where you are. You thought you got this chance, and I'm holding you back. He says, you want to go out there in the world, and you want to get what you think you're worth. That's great, but you also got to be willing to take the hits. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and by the way, interesting, so many movies have this negative sub-connotation about money and success. The Rocky series was actually the opposite, and one of the reasons why it did well is it actually resonated to the good beliefs we might have about
mm-hmm.
success. And we love the idea of the underdog, you know, fighting the forces of evil, those kind of, you know, this epic, heroic journey. But, yeah, you got to... You're going to be a pioneer. You know what? You're going to have some arrows in your back. You're going to, and most of us have surrounded ourselves with people who give us permission to stay where we are. We've all got people in our lives that we want to help, but you understand eventually that you can't drag people across the finish line. Sometimes they're trying to drag you back to the other side. I've got a YouTube channel that I call Prosperity TV, and I did a episode on, you know, dealing with negative people, and it just blew up. You know, it's just going viral all over the place because people really resonate with that. So you got to understand, when you start to move forward, you start to choose success, you're going to have some people throwing bricks at you. You're going to have some jealousy, petty jealousies. You're going to take some shots. But again, it goes back to the cost of living your dream or the cost of not living your dream. And the cost of not living your dream is always going to be greater.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the components of what you're talking about there, when you say people will have petty little jealousies, they'll have every reason for you to basically stay the same. I remember that happening many, many years ago with myself. You know, well, I kind of like the old Daniel. And I looked and I said, well, quite frankly, I didn't. That's why I'm the way I am now. What do you think about that? And it can go as deep as your family. I mean, who wants to be disloyal to their family? First, it's a subtle, oh, we wish you the best in the world. We want you to be successful. And pretty soon, you really start changing before their very eyes. Maybe for a while you don't contact or talk with them because you're really trying to separate for a moment to look at the world through your own eyes and not through the eyes of other people. And then all of a sudden, well, you just don't call, you don't talk to us anymore. You know, what are you doing? I don't understand this. And before you know it, you start slipping back into your old habits and saying, oh, you're probably right, I'm loyal to you. What was I thinking in the first place? But those are the things that you really need to challenge and say, look, you know, look at natural laws, for instance, the shark. You know, you don't see a baby shark come out of its mother and stick around and feel guilty about trying to grow into its own. It disappears and it just has its life. You know, there it is. And so when you follow natural laws, you start to realize that there's a personal power within you, that I was born into this world for a very unique and special purpose. And I owe it to myself to not only discover what that is, but to go to the great lengths and extent that it takes me to share that special light with the world. That's what you also share within your books.
Yes, that, and we all have to look at that, and we'll all face some choices in that area. There will be some people who will want you to stay the way you are, because if you become more successful, you're going to take away their excuse for not being successful. So, and some of them are our family, as you mentioned, and a lot of them are well-meaning. They're not evil people who are out to get you. They're just infected with these mind viruses. They have no idea. They're reacting to the programming and the limiting beliefs they have without any conscious thought. And, you know, so they say, well, honey, why would you want to be a doctor? Women aren't doctors. You know, women are nurses. Why would you want to go to college? Nobody in our family has ever gone to college. You know, what about it? You know, you could become an air conditioning mechanic, a HVAC. You could go to trade school. We could. They'll, you know, you really going to buy that dress? Isn't that a little ostentatious? You know, what kind of, you want to buy that kind of car? Don't you think that's a little bit showy for our family? Those kind of statements are riddled with limiting beliefs, and they can infect you and cause you to stay broke, to stay unhealthy, to stay unhappy, to limit your potential. So you have to really be on guard for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, Randy, what would be the one thing you could tell our listeners here that would help them get started? I mean, we've covered quite a reasonable ground here, but what would you say to our listeners to get them started on their road to prosperity?
Best thing would be set aside some time every morning, 15 or 20 minutes, to start your day and begin with self-development work, reading The Magic of Thinking Big or As a Man Thinketh or Think and Grow Rich. Maybe you're watching some Jim Rohn CDs or DVDs. Program your mind with prosperity. Before you, don't answer the door, don't answer the phone, don't leave the house until you're vibrating at the kind of consciousness that you want to be. And then you're going to attract people and circumstances that are going to be in alignment with you. And you're going to create a much more prosperous day. When you create a prosperous day, you get a start on a prosperous week. And when you create a prosperous week, you get a start on a prosperous month. And create a prosperous month, you got to start on having your best year ever. And it all starts with setting your mindset first thing when you wake up in the morning.
Couldn't agree with you more, Randy. And I know there was a good few months ago, I was reading through, I think it was a Jack Canfield book. And, you know, he was the one that was bringing in, you know, a lot of different stories, you know, responsible for the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, co-writer with Mark Victor Hansen. And what was interesting about reading that book wasn't so much what was in it in as much as that it led me to something that I couldn't really believe existed. Now, a lot of people make a lot of reference to Napoleon Hill, you know, with the Think and Grow Rich. And this is a book that's been out for many, many years. It was actually a book that was published in about 1902 called The Science of Getting Rich. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, Wallace Wattles, wasn't it?
Exactly. And it was such a simple book, just like yours are. I mean, these are ones you pick up and within less than a couple of hours, you're done. But you're thinking, you know what? They were talking about this stuff even back then. And I'll bet it even goes further back than that. And when you see things like that, just like yours, and you realize the simplicity of it, you think, you know, I really got a fighting chance. And you're right. Spiritually, I was put on this earth to be abundant, that is a birthright, that being in bliss and happiness is a birthright. But ultimately, it's also a choice.
It is a choice. And you have to make that choice to create that reality.
Now, Randy, what is a website people can find out more about your work?
just Randy Gage, RandyGage.com is my main site. And then I'm all over social media. You'll find me on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Empire Avenue and pretty much, you know, LinkedIn, any of those, you can connect with me there. So I'd love people to, you know, hunt me down and connect, because I love chatting with people and who are on this path to success and prosperity.
Now, here's one for you. What is Empire Avenue?
Empire Avenue is, I guess it's been around a couple of years. I just got on about 4 months ago. It's one of these gamification sites, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but it's based on social media. And I got on it because I just thought it would be, for a number of reasons. One was, it's a way to connect with people. It's all about social media. And you get an account, and then you're like a stock. You're like on the stock exchange. And people buy or sell your shares. And your share price goes up as more people buy your shares. And you pay a dividend. And the dividend is determined by how active you are on social media. So whether you tweet a lot on Twitter, or you're a post on Facebook and people like your page and comment on your page and interact with you. And so your score is based on your social media activity. So I thought it was great to measure my metrics of how I'm connected on social media. And it has some fascinating lessons of prosperity, just like if you were investing in the New York Stock Exchange or you know, one of the other stock exchanges with real money, only you're doing it with what they call EVEs, which is like virtual money. And when you sign up, you get some virtual EVEs and you start investing in people. And it's a fascinating thing, and I've had a lot of fun with it. And I, like I said, I think it's great for checking your social media, connecting with people, and there's some great prosperity lessons as well.
Outstanding. I was just thinking about something. There was a woman that I had interviewed about 11, 12 years ago, I guess it was, and it was about money. And she simply said, if life got easier for you, would that be okay? Randy Gage, thank you so much for joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program.
Thanks for having me. Been great to be on.
Thank you. We also thank you, the listeners out there, for tuning in. Again, it's Accept Your Abundance, Why You're Supposed to Be Wealthy, and Prosperity Mind are just two of the many books that you can get to transform the way that you're thinking and transform your lives. I'm Daniel Davis. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit us at our website at beyond50radio.com. That's the number 50, and sign up for our free weekly e-newsletter. Be sure also to visit our blog, where we also archive this specific segment along with others that you can use and share with others. Again, thank you for tuning in, and remember, live your day past halfway.